happen.
So it's November 8th, 2019. We're at the Councilmember Glover's agenda meeting, and we have four of us in the room. It's a small group.
Okay, but only three of us. Because Peter's here just doing some printing.
Okay, well, that's less work for Drew, perhaps.
Sounds good.
Or more.
So I sent you an email.
I got it. I was going to call you today to let you know about it. And that I agree with the proposed direction of the group.
Did you read the op-ed piece in today's Sentinel?
I saw it. I didn't read it, but it was.
I was looking for the paper and it disappeared. I don't know where it was. Normally here, and I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was in here this afternoon when I was meeting with people, but
I mean, we just walked away.
End of day, assuming no one's going to use it anymore, right?
Okay. Is there anything on this agenda that really interests you?
Well, let's see here.
There's the bail schedule. Has that actually gotten any more vetting? Or?
So it was discussed at the Public Safety Committee and was then, I think, referred back to the council. We'll be talking about what we talked about in the public safety meeting and any recommendations associated with it. I'll pull up the agenda right now. Would you mind opening up the door?
Okay.
Really? Peter, you need a print, man. What are you talking about?
You know, do you have an optimum email to reach you at?
Hello, everybody. The optimal email to reach me at for city issues is dglover@cityofsantacruz.com.
Got it.
Good evening, Serge and Nick.
Hey, is today recording night?
It is being recorded, yes.
Okay, if it's being recorded, then I'll be taking off. But I thank you for doing this, though.
Sure, you're welcome to share your perspectives with me. If we want to pause it for a second and just share your perspectives, pause it. Let's pause it right now.
And again, Serge made some interesting points about catch committee stuff, which I'll talk about after the meeting, I guess. We got right. Scott, Nick, welcome, Drew, everyone. I forgot your name.
Mark.
Sorry.
Welcome to the party. Get some materials out. So there's copies of the agenda. Scott, if you need one, there's one from Nicholas right there. I got one. Excellent. Prepared. I love it. So I'm just going to connect this document, which is easier to review things with, and then I'll turn this on so I can open my notepad here, and then we can jump into it. So thank you all for being here. Apologies about any confusion from last week, as there was not a city council meeting, but some people thought there was going to be a meeting. If y'all are on my newsletter, I'm going to start sending out newsletters about some of these different meetings on a semi-regular, weekly or bi-weekly basis. So if not, then let me know and we'll figure out a way to get you on the newsletter for updates.
Sorry I didn't make it to your meeting at Loudon Nelson the other night.
Really good.
I was planning on going and then I got home and fell asleep, and when I woke up it was like 8:05.
Yeah, happens to the best of us. It was a really good conversation with people, a lot of community support for the idea of a human rights commission, and a lot of great feedback to help us to strengthen and or add additional information to the existing draft agenda report. This coming Wednesday is the conversation on affordable housing, and the following week is going to be on homelessness. So that's always exciting.
So you still want to move it to the library, right?
We've already been promoting it through canvassing at Lab Nelson, so to shift it now would be problematic if people showed up and it wasn't there. So moving forward with your new suggestion of the library, even because it was a city staff member that had said that there would be problematic aspects of people getting to the bathrooms that with disabilities, we will explore. I've instructed my team to explore using the
there's an elevator. I mean,
library
on.
From now on.
You ever use that elevator?
Yeah.
It smells like it's on fire. There's an electrical fire in the
perfume.
Walls.
I mean, perfume.
So
no, it's not
the
perfume, Robert. It's a matter of that elevator is so freaking old.
Well,
how old is it?
As old as the building.
No, I mean, that's the joke, you know. It's so old. How old is it? It's like, it's so old. It's older. It could have been from the prehistoric age.
It's older than Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, right.
Regarding your video, by the way, if you want to hear Drew's stuff from yesterday, actually, it's from Wednesday night, you can see it's online, but it's really hard to hear.
It's live streamed. I tried to get people to come up and use the microphones, but they, like, wouldn't come up. So I tried to get them to enunciate. They wouldn't enunciate. So we're
trying. You had that thing you used to pass around.
They didn't give us wireless ones this time, so we had wired mics, which is why it didn't work to pass it around. But I saw your comments, and thank you for the feedback. We'll work on trying to adjust that for the next time with wireless mics for the community.
Who's your staff member on that? Or is it an intern?
As far as what?
Providing you with equipment.
The center. Like the staff of the center. I asked for a PA system with two microphones. I said, a projector system.
You requested a wireless mic, but you didn't get it.
I don't remember if I specified wireless mic, but for the future ones, there will be a wireless mic to address the issue that you brought.
You're hoping that it'd be a wireless mic.
That indoor, I will hopefully be able to make sure that there is one. So we will go from there. All right, so we can just begin by going through the consent agenda. There's the resolution amending and updating the bail schedule. So that's on the consent agenda, since you brought it up, Robert. So it won't be discussed unless we pull it. I don't know if anyone's planning on pulling it. Scott.
Well, the state had a rule to do away with bail.
Well, yeah. The term bail schedule is a little misleading because it's not bail per se. It is the fees and fines levied against an individual for receiving a citation or some kind of an infraction of the city code and or law.
You don't want to go to court, you pay for it, and then you don't have to go to court.
Kind of, except that sometimes the court levies its own fees on top of the city fees. So there was some concern at the Public Safety Committee meeting because this came before us, it was referred back to the Public Safety Committee meeting, and then we reviewed it, and now it's coming back again. I believe you were at that Public Safety Committee meeting, Scott, if my memory serves me correctly. But we talked about, or Lee Brokaw definitely was, and he brought up some different points. But the concern is by some of the costs or bail amounts associated with certain items and whether it needs to be reanalyzed. Now, Mr. Brokaw suggested that this be dissected in much more detail because he brought up issues of like vegetation management versus other things. And while I think that we can move forward with this as it is currently, I would encourage community members that are interested in analyzing the fees and fines from the city code violations to review it and then provide me with any input or suggestions as to potential revisions. At the same time, it could be brought up at this meeting, so if you have an issue or an item that you see on here that is less than ideal, there's a lot of them, and that's like, then we can go from there.
Did you have any testimony from the court regarding the actual fines, enhancements that are put on each of these? By the way, not occasionally, but routinely and almost invariably is my understanding.
So there was no statement from a court representative, but that issue was brought up, and the assertion was made by, I think, staff and maybe one community member that the court is lenient in its dismissal of fines based off of income level, and that there is a fee or fine forgiveness program that people can access through the website of the courts that would give them the opportunity. Of course, my response to that is, well, what if people don't have access or technological literacy in order to do that? Is there a liaison program that can help to walk them through that process? Also, the kind of stuff. Not so much. So again, if there are revisions or community input on things that they think would be better or a better structure for it, then I'm absolutely happy to revisit it. But as of right now, this is how it stands.
I'm not familiar with any such program being used in a regular way by homeless people, even those who have access to computers. In other words, the idea that you can get some sort of pre-court fine forgiveness or a diversionary program. And it's just, I mean, these fines are completely misleading. For example, if you look up 6.36010, which is the camping ordinance, which hasn't been, done much. You'll find, if you go to 6.36, it's, I don't know, $20 or $40 or some ridiculously small amount. But when you actually go to the bail to find out how much it is, to avoid the ticket and avoid going to court and pay it off, or if you're found guilty, 6.36, the whole amount is what it is.
6.36.
You'll see $20 there along the side, sleeping in the river there. It's $198 as of 2 years ago. And that hasn't been changed. That's the actual amount you pay. This is completely misleading. And if you are actually endorsing these kinds of fines, the indication of suggesting that this is what people actually pay, you're getting hornswoggled here.
No, this isn't. It was made very clear that this is not what the people pay. It's what the city levies as a fee, and then there's additional court costs that go on top of it. But there are forgiveness programs associated with those fee structures through the courts.
You need to get specifics on the forgiveness programs.
Well, what they need is to have somewhere where you can go, like to the city finance office, pay the $20 fine,
and then have the
and have no it. No court cost involved at all.
I like that. But I mean, the point is that it's, you know, it's more misleading shit to the public, like the same stuff about homes.
Right. Oh, it's only $20.
It also hurts people who are poor because they can't pay $180. They don't go south, and they add $200 or $300 to it for failure to pay.
Right.
So my point is, it sounds like you want to move this thing along, lest you be accused of being soft on crime or something.
No, if we have arguments or alternative options to be able to suggest, then I'm all ears, absolutely.
What kind of documentation? I don't know if I can get something for you in 3 days. I mean, you need somebody from the city attorney's office to actually, you need to ask questions like, how much do people actually, will they be required to pay? What are the actual specific programs? How frequently can they be used? What are the barriers? And you should simply delay all this until you get that information.
Well, if you want, if you can let me know what those questions are again.
Okay. Well, what are the actual fines people have to pay to the courts? Because that's the real fine. These aren't the real fines.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of procedures do they have to go through in order to avoid these payments, and how regularly can this be done? And of course, I would ask the question that you asked at the beginning of the year, and we asked you to ask, what's the impact on low-income people, and how much are these ordinances, even the limited number that you actually asked the city attorney to look at, disproportionately affecting poor people? I mean, how often do the fines actually get paid?
I've talked to a few people lately. They have stacks of these citations, and they're proud to boast how many they've got and compare how many they have not responded to.
Well, then a couple of years ago, the city council and its wisdom decided, okay, if you have 3 unpaid tickets, that becomes a misdemeanor, and then we can throw the person in jail.
But they never did.
Well, now they can't throw them in jail because misdemeanors are, you know, a victimless crime misdemeanor. You don't go to jail. You get booked and released. And so
that, it's still optional, though. I don't know for sure.
No, but the fact that the jail is overcrowded.
Yeah.
They're not going to put somebody in jail that has 3, you know, littering tickets that have thus turned into a misdemeanor. You know, because this voters 4 years ago voted in these new regulations where bunch of crimes got lowered down to misdemeanors and infractions.
Right.
You know, misdemeanors became infractions.
But what
felonies.
They do is they'll arrest you, they'll hold you overnight, they'll release you at 3 a.m. with virtually nothing, wearing nothing, with your property in police seizure that you can't pick up for 3 or 4 days, and then, you know, you have a misdemeanor you have to appear in court on, which has a potential penalty of 1 year in jail. You know, they can waive it, and they can use that as a plea deal to make you plead guilty. The stuff that you may not, you know.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's just...
No, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, that whole deal that they passed years ago of turning 3 or 4 tickets into a misdemeanor ought to be repealed.
Oh, I agree. Okay. I mean, and then there's a second law, too, that talks about once you have had three infractions, every subsequent infraction for the next 6 months is a misdemeanor. In other words, those are two laws. The first is they can individually charge you with a misdemeanor for 3 unpaid infractions. But the fourth one is automatically a misdemeanor under another ordinance that Condotti passed, or was it Barisoni? I guess it was Barisoni. So in other words, I'm sorry, this is you're looking for what kind of input you can get.
Oh, just you know, these questions that I can pose to staff ahead of time and then ideally get some answers for and or not get answers for. And then,
talk to you these days?
Yeah, totally.
You've got to talk to the city manager.
Don't you have to talk to Martine on your meetings in the morning?
No, that was simply a seemingly a symbolic memo because it hasn't changed anything.
He doesn't have that power anyway.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out about the payment process online, and it is, you know, even getting to here to understand that there's a forgiveness program is rather convoluted, and then I need to have a citation number and something to be able to search the payment required to even see what the options are. So I'll have to understand what the process is, but you have it here. What
does
kind
the
of
bail
procedures?
Schedule include, by the way, administrative tickets for RVs, parking, 72 hours, things of that sort?
Yeah, there's a sleeping in your car thing.
Right, but that's not the 72 hour thing. That's different.
No,
that's a municipal code. I think this is.
I mean, if you're parked for 72 hours and you get a parking ticket?
Correct.
And you get 3 of them and they tow your car away?
3 or 5, I'm not sure which, yeah. And I'm just wondering what the bail is for that. And also, the issue came up at the recent Conscience in Action meeting, which is is there a procedure for getting past these citations if you have 3 or 5, any way to forgive them? And we've got contradictory information on this. One woman said, I went there and they said they're forgiven. Another, Alicia, went and said, can't get it done. So we don't know. So the problem with this is that people are getting bogus 72-hour tickets, and they're also getting warnings before the 72 hours are up, after, let's say, an hour, if there's a complaint. In other words, after a brief period of time, they get told, you have to move along,
right,
or else.
But you're suggesting harassment program going on.
There's this insane law here in Santa Cruz where if you park your car for more than 72 hours, you have to drive it 5 miles.
5 miles?
Before you park it again.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, no, that's part of the law. Okay. So if you just go around the corner and park, they can still ticket you as if you were parked in the original.
Did you look up the law, or is that what you...
No, it happened to me.
How long ago was that?
Several years ago.
Several years ago, okay.
But it was like, the city wants to encourage people to take mass transit and not drive their cars. But if they park their car and don't drive it for 5 days, say the 5 days they go to work, they can get a ticket.
Interesting.
Well, thank you for the input on all those things, as well as the questions. We're going to stick to this bail schedule, so if you go through it and find something in particular, then let me know. I don't know if you need me to print out a copy of it before you leave, then you can scan it that way.
No, I can look at it at home.
All right. So I'm going to move along. Now, the questions I have there, what are the actual fines people have to pay in the courts? What kind of procedure do they have to go through to avoid these payments, and how regularly can these be done? What is the step-by-step process for a low-income person or someone who's unhoused to successfully get fine forgiveness? What is the impact on low-income people?
There's somewhere online you can find this information.
Right. Now, what's the step-by-step process? Tell me exactly how it works.
Thank you. Those are good questions.
Okie dokie, that was item number 6 in the consent, so we'll pull this if we don't get the answers in time.
Question for you about this item 5.
Yeah.
I noticed that, I guess, I think it was either you or Justin or somebody who at the end of the meeting raised the issue of putting another item on the agenda by a required vote, but they didn't do it in this period. They did it at the end of the council meeting. Does this mean that you can do it fundamentally any time during the council meeting?
I don't remember the circumstance that you're referring to, and if you want to find it on the recordings or...
This was the thing with the first, the Barson Street thing, the first time the Barson Street thing came up.
That was, I don't think that was at the end of the meeting, that was probably after public comment, because that's the period when we can do it, after we hear from the community and there's enough of an issue.
This is before public comment, way before.
It is, because public comment's at 7 p.m. and this is the afternoon. So this is the opportunity in the afternoon to reevaluate the agenda and potentially make a motion to do that. Oral communications, after oral communications happens, then we're able to make motions or give direction based off of the things we heard. We can't discuss them, but we can either give staff direction or we can make a motion to prioritize it beyond the next
and
agenda.
That's like sort of the informal rule that Mayor Watkins allows you, or that's written
that's
down
part of,
somewhere?
Part of the process, I do believe.
You actually read that somewhere.
I have not, but if you want to review Robert's Rules of Order...
I mean, as long as you can do it in a regular way, I don't care if it's written or unwritten, I just want
yeah, there was no opposition from the city attorney when I did it. So,
but it isn't something you can do arbitrarily any time during the meeting.
I think it has to pertain to something that's said during public comment and to raise the level of concern or a request or a question posed by a community member.
Can that be then in any testimony after an item? That
I don't know that specifically, but if you want to write me the question about it, or I can just add it to this.
Yeah, I'd say when can a council member make a motion that an item be added to the next agenda based upon new public information that's come out either in public comment or in some other public testimony on any item that's happened? Possibly.
Well, I think any agenda item after public comment or after the staff presentation, the council can say, hey, we want more information coming back at the next meeting or two meetings from now or whatever.
Right, but I mean, the question is, can... The motion that he made was to agendize tenant protections for Barson Street.
Right.
Not just to get more information from the staff.
Well, I understand.
But to actually have it on the next agenda. Now, my question is, can that be done at any time during the meeting?
I think at any agendized item, at the end of that item, they can ask for either more information or... for something about that item to be put on the agenda the next time.
I like it, but the question is, I think you should maybe put that in your traveling kit and use that.
Traveling kit.
Well, you know, take it with you and use it.
Toolbox.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, I think you should be like Mike Rockin and jump up during the meeting, Robert.
Point of order.
Well, thank you for
clucking like a chicken. That's what I mean.
Thank you for the suggestions. So next is on the consent agenda, other items, but just the city council.
You got that down.
Yeah.
I want number 10.
Just the city council meeting agenda. What's number 10? Number 10. Okay, we're on 9 right now. I'm just looking at it. This is the council meeting calendar. It looks like it's 2 meetings per month except for January. Oh, no, end of January, February, February, March, March, April, April, May, June, June, nothing in July, August, September, September, October, November, November, December. All right. So that looks normal to me. Alrighty. Set dates for an annual advisory body interviews, appointments, and reappointment. Motion to set dates for the advisory body applicant interviews at special meetings scheduled on January 21st, 7 p.m. and appointments and reappointments scheduled at the regular meeting January 28th. Alright, what would you like to talk about with that, Nicholas?
Well, I'm not aware of how many advisory bodies there are, how they're constituted, and it also raises the question of the unfortunate treatment of yourself trying to make appointments to advisory board.
Right, yeah, well, the appointments are made as far as the external committees for city council members by the mayor, whoever that will be, or by, I guess, if we follow the timeline of things, it will be then Mayor Cummings.
Does the mayor have exclusive control over who gets appointed?
No, the council.
The council majority gets to review the mayor's suggestions, and then the council majority can either maintain or overturn and replace.
But wait a minute, who proposes these applicants? Who proposes which applicants to favor with a position?
Maybe. It depends if you're talking about the commissions or if you're talking
about... No, these advisory bodies.
The mayor, based off of input from council members, when the mayor says, what advisory boards would you like to be on? And then the mayor then decides where to put them.
Oh, so these advisory bodies are made of council members only?
So that's the thing, is I think there's two aspects. There's the commissions, and then there's the external advisory bodies that are made from council members. So these ones, it looks like council members make annual advisory appointments to fill existing vacancies or members that have expired. Let's see here.
This is not clear to me.
Application deadline. It may be for commissions, which is what it sounds like to me. Wait a second. Just let me,
go to the
side. Y'all, I'd really appreciate it if I'm talking. Wait until I'm done talking, and then you can talk, because it's hard for me to get halfway through a sentence and be interrupted constantly. Yeah, so this is for commissions, specifically. And that process is community members are invited to submit applications for their ideal commissions. They can mark their first preference, second, and third. And then those are submitted to council members who get to look at stuff, and then we make nominations, I believe, based off of who is there, except for some of them. So, like, for example, the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women is different than the other commissions, where each council member gets to make a recommendation on one person, as opposed to the other bodies, where people submit their applications, and then we nominate them as a majority. So we go through and we all say who we want. Then the top vote getters of those go through another round until eventually there's two people and then the majority vote.
So is it 100% true that every applicant who's approved by a majority of the council always gets that seat?
I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
I'm really trying to get at why were your applicant, your names never approved by the majority when...
What are you talking about?
Okay.
Well, he's talking about the external committees that I'm on, like the Public Safety Committee. I'm talking about commissions, which are the volunteers from the community, like the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, the Planning Commission.
I'm going to drop my interest in this one.
No, but see, it's right up there.
Yeah, look, it's up here, Nick. It's up there. See, Arts Commission, Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, stuff like that. And then people get four-year terms, I believe, on the commissions, and then they either expire and are up for re-election or reappointment, or it's a vacant seat because they don't reapply.
So it sounds like you're pretty satisfied with the process as it stands.
I mean, I guess, as long as there's a... I mean, it depends on who's in the majority. You know what I mean?
So we don't need to challenge this. Okay, that's all.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's a question of if you like that structure. We'll go Robert and then Scott.
I mean, I think, Nick, what you're asking is why at the beginning of last year did this year did none of his appointees?
Yeah.
And the answer is it wasn't to these commissions. It was to the subcommittees of the city council that they were talking about.
All right.
But I mean, your concern is legitimate, and you know, that
it is.
It's not a good process, I don't think, at least. It wasn't properly done there. My question is regarding your most recent posting on Facebook regarding the questionable business around the resignation of the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, resignations of Grossman and Kramer. You were quite outspoken about that issue. Do you want to sort of brief us on that? I read what you said, but its significance for the community, its significance for you.
Yeah, I would find being clear.
It's just massively hypocritical and questionable. Problematic is another good word to have people on a commission use that commission for a partisan purpose that's outside of its scope, and then subsequently resign almost immediately afterwards.
Explain how it's a partisan. I think I understand about it. For those who, does everybody understand why it's for a partisan?
I think it is factional.
Right. Power. Explain what the partisan purpose was in this case.
This was to censure myself and Councilmember Crone to, in my opinion, fuel the recall effort to remove us based off of findings from an investigation that was inappropriate to begin with, and then also at the same time looking at the claims that we violated the policy. I think this is a larger conversation with the power given to the human resources director because in the language of the documents that talk about violations of code or policy, it says that no single act shall be constituted as a violation of the policy unless specifically severe or egregious. The investigation and the complaints came back with two substantiated, one for each myself and Councilmember Crone, substantiated claims of some kind of issue that came up, but they were each one-off situations, and neither, according to my analysis, as well as many others, were particularly severe or egregious, one being supposedly a sarcastic laugh by Councilmember Crone. Mine is an uncomfortable interaction at a conference room when a council member was over their time and they didn't appreciate me saying it in front of their people that they were meeting with. So neither one of those are specifically egregious or severe, in my opinion. But because all of that ability or to make those assertions is in solely the hands of the human resources director, she was able to make the claim or make the final finding that those were in fact violations, basically contradicting the language in the policy itself, stating that one occurrence shall not be.
In the appeal process?
So, no, I don't believe there's an appeal process, and when asked about it, it was met with a lot of, in my opinion, some resistance when I asked them directly about it the other day. So, problematic on a lot of levels, partisan in the sense that the use of the commission is to address violence against women, specifically rape, sexual assault, and domestic violence. So, none of those were the cases with any of the findings from the investigation. And then to have the extra mile kind of done by, at that time, Chair Kevin Grossman, to not only push and, in my opinion, coerce and pressure other commission members who were not given ample notice about the agenda item and who were not given ample time to review the information or ask necessary questions, to then pressure them into casting a vote of uncertainty, and then simultaneously publishing a blog that not only defamed myself and the situation and emphasized misinformation and or exaggerations in the situation, but then to subsequently resign, not only just to resign, but to resign without finding a replacement to act as an interim. So in their resignation and failure to appear at the October or the November meeting, made it so that the commission failed to have a quorum and they don't have another scheduled meeting until February, thus creating an ineffective and non-actionable commission for 5 months in addressing violence against women. So it's like, it seems rather disingenuous to say that they care about the prevention of violence against women when they are, their actions have delayed any action or process of the commission to take place until November. So, or excuse me, until February.
Was there a strategic motive in your view? You can't tell because you, unless you've talked to them, maybe you got some inside information. Do these are these resignations to attempt to prevent, because there's no quorum, issues that would have arisen at that November meeting or not?
I have no idea.
Such as around the issue that you're talking about, this, what you feel was a hurried, inappropriate, intimidating process about your situation?
No, because the commission members who said that they felt pressured and coerced then submitted a request to the chair and the rest of the commission to be able to reevaluate their votes and change them from a yes to a no. Oh. And they were outvoted by the majority to not allow them to change their votes. So it is static in the record that it was a unanimous vote, even though it was a coercive and peer pressured unanimous vote that was then refused to be changed when they got the accurate information. So
how many people were involved in this? How many wanted to change their votes? As far as you know?
Two.
Out of a total of?
Seven.
And how many, so?
So it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the ultimate vote, but it would have allowed them to be represented in the accuracy of their perspective on the issue. Which is interesting because it's, and they're both women, so it seems it's strange that the commission would disenfranchise the voice of two women to make it so that they can't be accurately represented in the histories or annals of...
What's the gender makeup of the commission?
Kevin Grossman, which is the only man who was the chair, which is strange in a lot of ways too, but then all, and then the rest of them were women, I do believe. And what's ultimately ironic about this is that in the Rose Report, Grossman cites the time when I, Anyway, it's cited from a commission member that I am, when I said that we should not interrupt each other because of race and gender power dynamics in the room, was somehow a negative thing, but then simultaneously
did
the same thing, right? Which is crazy. That is why I made that statement. We'll see how that goes, but it's just my personal perspective as well as perspective, I'm sure, a lot of the people. Anyway, so moving forward to number 12, the purchase of Taser's associated licenses and accessories.
Seems like an inordinate amount of money on this one.
$236,000.
Let's go here. Item 12.
$250,000, Robert.
Yeah. I was one of the people who opposed the introduction of Taser's when they were first proposed. Oh, no, sorry. Proposing gas. Tear gas.
So, motions to authorize city manager to spend $235,439.20 for the purchase of replacement tasers and associated licenses and accessories. Committed to employing de-escalation tactics whenever possible. Department of Justice states that tasers are good for that.
Maybe a history of their use of tasers. I requested that information from Mills and not really gotten a satisfactory answer in a Public Records Act request. How many times were tasers used? Against whom were they used? How often was hospitalization required?
Okay, wait. What are the questions again?
Okay, the question is how many times were the tasers used?
When and how long? Like, what's the timeline?
Oh, I don't know. Over the last year or two?
2 years? Okay.
How often was hospitalization required by the people tasered or tased?
Did death result from any of those tasers?
Or injury, yeah, sure. I mean,
might be good to have 3 years on that.
3 years, yeah.
Well, people with bad hearts, they could have a heart attack from being tased.
Okay. There have been people, yeah, there have been fatalities. I don't know if there have been any fatalities in Santa Cruz by the SCPD. I know in jail there have.
Have there been any fatalities? When was the last time they were replaced?
How frequently are they being used? Really, whether any study is being done to determine whether they're used as a form of discipline rather than officer protection, if you understand what I mean. In other words, if you don't follow my orders, yeah. I tase you, rather than I have to defend myself, so I tase you. What kind of research has been done around this issue?
If we look at the national picture, they are frequently used to punish people in a situation on the street, but sometimes in a police station or in a van, in a vehicle. I've read numerous stories where they are used in that way to hurt people and punish them for something.
And I would add,
and then the racial makeup of the people being tased.
And the class makeup of the people being tased, whether they are normally people with 115 Coral Street or unhoused addresses, yeah. To see if they are an unusual number of people being tased have that status, have a shorthand homeless status.
What's the race and house status of the...
Right, and there seemed to be a disproportionate problem there, or is it not? You know, I mean, I think actually homeless people are more likely to be subservient.
Those could be two separate questions, or how many times were tasers used over the last 3 years? Please provide a searchable spreadsheet with date, time, location,
and the officer
race.
Using the tasing.
Well, so let's think about that. So what I'm saying, so do we want to frame it like that for the spreadsheet? Please provide a searchable spreadsheet with the following.
But will there be any time for this? I mean, are you going to request this before?
I'm going to request it probably tonight or tomorrow.
I see. Sounds good. Thank you.
Information, date, time, location, race, gender, house. status.
And also the idea about the actual officer. Seeing some officers are frequently tasing.
How status and the officer involved in the tasing.
And maybe research regarding what you were saying, Scott, as to any more recent data regarding the impact of tasering on people with different medical conditions. In other words, is there any new information on this that the city should be aware of, because they're liable for lawsuits around this issue?
Is there any new information regarding... Prosthetics, what?
Heart conditions, I don't know.
With health issues and or...
On medication that has an impact because of that.
Health issues and or medication and or implants, electric implants. Alrighty. Sounds good.
Anything here that particularly interests you in this stuff?
Well, all this is interesting, and I don't know. I saw that taser one, but I didn't get a chance to read through it. This is all very valuable. Revised resolution for local hazard mitigation, safety noise. I don't know what any of that stuff is. Let's click here. It is about...
That's a hell of a lot of noise on these various work projects going around the city. My public works, road repairs, and plumbing.
Well, all this except for the noise ordinance.
But I mean, it makes the roads unsafe. The noises affect your concentration when you're driving, or even crossing the road. Definitely increases the danger.
Oh, so this is just like an administrative thing for an already existing code with FEMA.
No idea.
And then pipe support rehabilitation, except the work that is to completion, so that's done. Major rebuild of water. I think this is the one that will impact the 1220 River Street. Let's see.
What number is that? 14? Somewhere around there?
15.
Oh yeah, okay. That seems like a regular thing a city would do.
Peterson Power Systems.
Looks like it's not directly related to 1220.
Yeah, no, wastewater treatment facility. All right, yeah, no, it's fine, whatever.
This is a little off the agenda, but do you have any sense of the impact of the county's so-called just eviction protection stuff?
I haven't reviewed their language.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Where is that?
It's not on here.
It happened on Tuesday at the city council. Capitola recently voted.
Water department, capital projects, purchase of two pieces of heavy equipment, another backhoe, and another dump truck.
Routine stuff.
We always buy so many work vehicles, it seems intense, but... okay, so that ends the consent agenda. This one is
16.
Whatever the one is after the consent agenda, I think it's 16. 18.
No, I want to do 16. Consent agenda 16.
Okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to talk about?
Well, here's an opportunity: revegetation and restoration. Here's an opportunity to provide some work for homeless people, I think. I've done that kind of work. You don't have to be very skilled to do planting plants, securing them in the ground, improving the environment, putting more nourishment in the soil, and mulching. It's not hard work.
Water Department is implementing a 10-year capital investment program of nearly $300 million to facilitate delivery of this work. The department has been developing contracts under MSAs for a variety of common services. contracting model that consolidates related services under a single $0 contract.
No, this is not 16. Consent agenda 16 is a different one.
Nope, that's this one.
That's what he's saying.
Award of a master contract service agreement. I'm reading the background of it. You don't have it.
Oh,
right there.
Yeah, I don't have that.
It's up here, though. Can you see it?
Well, I don't think it makes all that much difference.
Okay.
I just want to establish the principle that whenever these public contracts are issued and the work is relatively simple, not a high skill level, that's an opportunity to provide some work for homeless people.
I hear that. The question is, how do we frame it? Projects, which is expected to require approximately 2 acres of post-construction vegetation, smaller. Let's see, the water department formally revisited the request, soliciting statements of qualifications from individuals or firms who provided consulting services for revegetation. The intent of the RFQ was awarded to master service agreements and one consultant who would perform revegetation and site restoration services for the water department capital project.
So it's about a consultant rather than about workers.
One way to frame it would be that whenever the contract is submitted for bidding, then there could be an advisory to the potential contractors, an advisory to them that they should offer a quota of the work to homeless individuals.
Okay, so because the consultant's going to cost $32,000. $32,443.45. Okay, and so what opportunities are there to offer revegetation work outlined in the, it's called the Newell Creek Dam Inlet Outlet Replacement Project.
Well, I would frame it more like setting aside a certain percentage of the work.
Hmm. Well, yeah, so what? Set aside a certain amount of the work? Like, are you talking, because what I'm trying to get at is getting them to ask the question, what would it take to be able for us to offer this work to people experiencing homelessness, which is that first question. So what opportunities are there to offer work outlined in the project for currently in-house people?
Yeah, but you see, the way you're putting it is very indirect, rather than saying that any decent city would want to provide, would want to consciously provide work for those who most need it.
So my goal is to fish their perspective out and then make that statement, because I agree that that is the case, but I need to understand where they're coming from first to be able to prepare for any kind of a reboot.
Open the discussion and then...
Right. The issue there is also that this is not an issue of discussion on the agenda. The issue of topic is the agreement for revegetation. So I'm going to send this ahead of time to staff to see what they have to say, and then I will say I'd like to make a motion for the next agenda for us to be talking about ways that we can allocate some of these work hours to currently unhoused people in Santa Cruz or something.
It will be a condition of the contract. Yeah.
Condition of the contract. Go ahead, Robert.
Have you done this generally before in past pre-council meetings after these discussions with folks outside in these meetings? And have you gotten responses from the staff that have been helpful?
I haven't been, in full transparency, I haven't been as proactive of sending the, because I get buried after the meetings and then it goes into the weekend and I have to do stuff over the weekend and then Monday comes and then the next day's the council meeting. So that's why ideally before I leave this evening, maybe we'll stop at like 6:50 and then I'll be able to spend that last 10 minutes as we continue conversation, sending out the emails.
Has this ever been done before?
I would imagine...
By you?
I would imagine so. They request it, actually. They say send the information and questions to staff before the meeting so that they don't...
Right, but do you recall in any regular fashion you've ever done this? It's not intended to push it down.
No, not at all. Not in a regular fashion. And...
Because I wonder what the response was under those circumstances.
Usually, like those information requests that I submitted outside of the, the ones that we talked about, their responses were prompt and there. The person I don't get the information I request from is the city manager. All the other departments usually give me their information rather quickly. The city manager is the one that is difficult. Okay, so that should be good there. Nicholas, thank you for that suggestion. Conditions in the contract. What is the process for adding conditions?
Or clauses. I think they use the word clauses.
Or clauses into future into this or future contracts.
Yeah. Not just for the water department or public works, but for other.
But we got to set let's set precedents with this, and then precedent with this, and then we'll move forward with other contracts as we get there. Thank you for pointing that out, Nicholas. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, so heavy pieces of equipment, whatnot. This one with.
I have a question about this consent public hearings deal.
Right.
Does that mean that you guys, if you all consent to it, you don't even have to like discuss it? It just.
Yes.
There is no public hearing. It's.
This guy, they got cooked this one up under Terrazas. That's when this.
Yeah, started. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like the. Yeah, there's no. Because there's supposed to be a public hearing on a second reading.
These are technically, according to their analysis, public hearings.
Yeah, but they don't. Unless you guys pull it to discuss it, the public doesn't get input, which they should be. I don't know. If nobody pulls it, does this public still get the ability to speak on these issues?
I believe that they get at the beginning of it, just like with, I think that they get 2 minutes if they want to talk about all, like any
all three of them at
potentially,
once.
Potentially, yeah. And then council members can pull it, I think. I'm not 100% sure on that. It's weird, there's no agenda report with it. That's just the ordinance.
So, but you made it, Brown has claimed that throughout her tenancy, and she's been pretty good on this, that if any member of the public requests an item be pulled, she will pull it. Do you have the same policy?
Mm-hmm.
So we should publicize that in case anybody wants to.
Bring back the little green cards.
Yeah, or whatever.
In order to adopt the City of California Fire Code here. There's no agenda reports associated with these, so it's kind of like, what is this? There are emplacing source recognition. Is this the one that didn't bring tents?
Which are we on now? Which number?
19, I think.
Oh, I want to go 18. I had something about 18.
Okay, what would you like to talk about 18?
This seems to me to be an opportunity, a necessity. It definitely relates to homeless shelters and any other temporary structure, like at the Homeless Garden Project as an example. We can't do what needs to be done for homeless people in this county unless we can have some waivers from these very strict rules of California building codes. We've got to have some waivers and exceptions granted, especially if the city's under an emergency about homelessness. That would legally cover it, I think.
So, is there a way to get exemptions? A good word for you?
Yeah, they use those two words, exemptions or waivers. They seem to be two different categories that are commonly used.
Well, I think exemptions mean you're outside the rules. Waivers means you're inside the rules, but you're not having to pay any money.
I'm not sure quite what it means.
So, is there a way to get exemptions or waivers for certain California codes to address homelessness more aggressively?
An alternative alternative building. Why can't we?
I wouldn't just say homeless. I would say to address critical human needs, because it is homeless, but there may be other groups that it affects.
To address critical human needs.
So if it ever came up in a court, you see, critical human needs is a good phrase to have in the wording.
I agree. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. That's going to go to the city attorney and planning. The vegetation is going to go to Public Works. City manager. And city attorney. The tasers are going to go to the SCPD.
Oh, it's all going to be targeted, right?
Yeah, this is what the question, the bail schedule is going to go to the city attorney. General questions is going to go to the city attorney. Homelessness coordinator, job description is going to go to the city manager. Same thing with the communications.
Susie O'Hara is still on vacation.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Permanent vacation.
Yeah. Not a happy kind of part.
No idea what's going on. Okay, so then there's the fire codes. Then there's the inclusionary housing requirements. We talked about it last time for the second reading. And there's the 21, which is the classifications of jobs.
Significant.
Now, with the inclusionary housing thing, that has to do with that lawsuit, right?
Mm-hmm. And the conversation we had at the last meeting.
All right. And then the loopholes that were brought off, that doesn't come back this meeting, it's someplace out in the future?
I don't remember what the final, let me see here really quick, the final action about that. Introduce for public ordinance that one, identify specific amendments.
Well, go ahead and get...
Refer the additional proposed amendments to the Planning Commission.
Oh, okay.
And come back within 40 days. So, we'll find out then. Okie dokie. So, on to the decriminalizing ethnogenic plants and fungi.
One question.
No, hang on. The homelessness response man.
What does this mean? Is there any significance to this in terms of...
21? Yeah. Well, I mean...
What changes? Why is there any? Do you give a shit?
Here's the. It's in the agenda report here. Oh, that's the wrong one. Just a second. Classifications of city departments here and here. So the notable thing, which I'm not sure with regards to the communications manager, because there's no cost assessment, I believe, with the homeless response manager. Oh yeah, there it is.
That's what he was asking. That's what Serge was asking about.
Yeah, the homeless response manager is $8,000 to $11,000 a month, and then the communications manager is $9,000 to $13,000 a month.
These are new.
And so, who is this?
There's currently an existing community relations manager, but hasn't been filled since August 2015. In order to meet the current needs, the city manager's office, working with communications consultant SAE Communications and the Human Resources, is updating the position to a communication manager position to encompass the citywide strategic communication function of public information.
But what does this communications manager do? I mean, I'm asking your personal opinion.
So the city recently went through, like, all the council members went through this, like, hour and a half training session for on-camera interview help on how to focus a message and how to stick to the key message and points and be poignant and effective in interviews. So I don't know if that, I mean, I personally I believe that the city does have a terrible communication structure with the city, with the constituents to be able to engage. Now, I don't know if that justifies a $13,000 a month position for someone to be able to accomplish that. And again, the question is, what does that do? So here's the job description for the communications manager. Which is to advise the city senior management regarding strategic communication aspects, so coaching people on communication strategies, represent as the person doing like outreach and education to city programs, so coordinating, I would imagine, postcard sending outs and commercial planning, if they're doing advertisements, yeah. Creates and implements effective communications programs for strategic objectives and evaluations, serves the city's public information officer, or serves as the public information officer, so maintaining relationship with news media outlets.
Minister of propaganda, that sort of thing.
Manages news conferences, prepares reviews and edits press releases, scripts, articles, social media, and blog posts. Oversees development and maintenance of the city and department websites and social media pages, develops and implements community outreach programs through a variety of multimedia
communications. But this is $120,000 a year.
Right.
It's a pretty darn high
sum. Propaganda for the city.
You can't even buy a house store if you have that much money.
Facilitates communication outreach and media trainings with city officials.
You need more money than that.
Serves as a resource consultant to the city departments.
Look at down payment.
Ensures interdepartmental coordination with respect to the city's public internal communications vision.
It's padded to hell.
Leads city crisis communication activities, provides strategic advice and counsel to city officials and senior level executives concerning community relations aspects, policies, practices. Oversees, coordinates, and edits the development and production of various city documents and publications, including newsletters and annual reports. Prepares and delivers presentations to the city and or departments. Develops and disseminates public and internal opinion surveys. Assists city officials and staff in formulating proactive responses to information and matters. Performs other related duties that may be reasonably expected.
Look at this. It's all about sitting in your office and working on a computer, that's what it is.
It's a,
and listen to the
being
kind of,
a spokesmodel.
Sitting, standing,
you're
gonna
have
walking,
to look
reaching,
good on, you have to look good on camera, too.
Well, I mean, Robert, this way,
it's a psychological position. The question in our mind should be, is this psychological propaganda operation, or is it really being helpful to the community, including ourselves?
Is this PR for the city, fundamentally? From the city
and Barry Swanson.
Point of view. I mean, that's my question. Who's asking for this? Who's requesting this position?
And where's the objectivity in the position, in the definition of it? It sounds good on paper. It does sound impressive.
Sound? I don't know. It sounds not to me.
I mean, most of the public would think.
Submitted by Ron Prince, Laura Schmidt, and Lisa Murphy. Approved by Martine Bonham. Prepared by Kathy Bonino.
Do you have any sense of me? Is there some need that came up that you'd be, I guess you would perhaps have heard about it directly?
Not that I've heard about directly. I do, you know what's interesting? Hold on a second. I need to look at this really quick because what is the job? The homeless person's making less than the communications person.
And what do they do?
Which is really interesting. Communications relations specialist.
I'm a guest.
Homeless.
They supervise the rounding up of people.
They make $20,000 a year more, it looks like, than the homeless response person. And the homeless response person is responsible for...
Did you go away to Pete?
No.
Okay.
Direct homeless city response programs, develop recommended policies on homelessness, coordinates the provisions of homelessness, provide strategic guidance, private-public sector agency partnership, staff evaluations and recommendations regarding program proposals, implementing strategic short-term and long-term planning, provides leadership services in subject areas, makes presentations, reviews and analyzes complex data, performs various public relation activities, prepares and recommends project budgets, may serve as staff for, provide for commissions, serves as media contact for homelessness in the city, stays abreast of federal legislation relating to homeless funding and performs other related duties that may be
required.
Prolonged sitting.
It doesn't say once.
Chairwarming.
It doesn't say at any point that soliciting input from the community with ideas.
Good point.
Alternative
public relations.
It's all about promoting what the city staff thinks should happen.
Yeah, this one conducts field studies, which includes observing and assessing homeless situations in the community.
Well,
so I don't know.
But they're not soliciting any creative ideas, and I know that because I've given them some.
Is this position filled?
No, neither of them are currently filled. So they're being proposed.
Has this ever been? Is this a new position that's never been around before?
Yep, totally new position.
New position. So, Robert, you should apply.
Yeah, right. I'll jump right on it.
And this is item.
No, but who better to do that job than you?
I can sit in a chair like anybody else. I can twist, turn.
So what are the requirements for that job?
Just a second. 21.
To believe implicitly in everything the staff comes up with and promote it to the public psychologically.
Yeah, sure, why not?
I think that's what the job is.
Let's see here. I pull up the homeless services.
Are they just trying to find a way to spend money that they're getting from some grant? Is that what this is about?
No, this is probably general revenue, I would think.
Is it?
I think, usually these positions are paid by
general. Well, that one sheet, spreadsheet just shows, tells where the money's coming from.
Yeah, bachelor's degree, accredited colleges, university of behavioral sciences, and 5 years of progressively responsible professional experience, including 3 years of experience working on homeless.
That's what Serge pointed out, Susie O'Hara has.
So do you have your bachelor's degree, Robert?
I'm a bachelor.
Yeah, he's a notorious bachelor of the matter.
Well, I've heard things
notorious.
Okay, well, here's the spreadsheet on where it's coming from.
Stormwater.
Come from the general...
Oh, only 16%. No, that's not a spreadsheet of this particular position.
Yeah, it is.
Homelessness response.
Right there.
Oh, I see.
And that's where the money comes from.
General fund.
It looks like it's pretty much divided the same way the other communications director is.
Well, why are they taking the water from the water from these ones. Money?
Slightly more.
None from stormwater.
Oh, wastewater.
No stormwater.
Stormwater, because homeless people supposedly shit and piss in the stormwater drains.
No, this couldn't be a spreadsheet for that. I mean,
the wastewater is they don't allow the homeless people to use bathrooms.
Well, I encourage us to get through this quickly so that Drew here can get this stuff to the staff and get some information.
So we got 10 minutes before, this clock's wrong.
So let's list the questions that arise from these job descriptions. Let's start with the homeless coordinator, one at a time.
Well, is this just a rubber stamp of, approving staff recommendations, or is this person allowed to think on their own?
Is the staff? Oh, well, that's not kind of a. I was going to say, is the staff member required to solicit input and recommendations from the community to explore implementation? That's something Nicholas brought up.
What powers does this individual have as far as policy making, enacting?
It's an acting policy. It's a staff member, so it does what the council tells them to do, supposedly.
Or what the city manager tells them to do.
Based off of the council's direction and then figuring out how to spin it. But yes, that is the general understanding. Savings increase offset by homeless response manager. Sense to me, really hard to read this whole thing. So why is the homeless manager paid less than... I don't even like that term. It's the name, homeless manager? The homeless response, there we go.
You might ask this to be put into straight English. There's a huge number of... the question to be asked is how much of this... Well, I'm thinking you're talking city council, so...
Why is the homeless response staff paid less than the communications manager?
What's the relationship to the cash, for instance?
What is their relationship to the cash? As a city liaison, will external agencies, boards, and committees and provide leadership and service? I mean, it says right there, I guess there'll be a liaison to the catch to this for the city, apparently. I don't know if that would be a replacement of the current staff.
They put something up there about it.
It's up there in that last sentence here.
Acts of the city liaison with...
Oh.
There you go.
Yes. Oh, I see, yeah. City liaison.
I'm just going to still put that question there. What's the relationship with the cat? Okay. And they say that it's considered with internal city pay parity, which is strange. I don't think it's strange that we, fought over giving people raises in our unions, and yet we're willing to spend $120,000 a year on a communications manager. seems crazy. And couldn't we be reallocating that money towards emergency homeless services?
Maybe you can bring that up in the commentary of the actual council meeting.
The people have spoken. we're getting somewhere.
We're trudging forward with our
only in the middle. Come on, we'll have to speed up, guys.
So we're moving to 22 now, or are we
yeah.
still
going? Well, yeah. Why do we not reinvest this money?
This is the real vote getter. This one.
Yeah, that's why Justin brought it forward. I imagine. Why do we not reinvest the money in? Well, I was working on it, and then. It's so ridiculous that I don't care that because I'm co-signed on it anyway, but it's ridiculous that this is where Justin is spending his time. I have my interns working on this, and he spent so meetings with all these people putting this language together, and it's like what?
Is that because Beach Flats is the center of fungus growing?
Why do we reinvest the money in emergency homeless services?
Must be.
This is on item 22. We're talking about decriminalizing ethnogenic plants.
So yeah, I'm in support of this. I'm a co-signer for it, and it's to follow the lead of Berkeley and whatever. Yeah, my goal was not for individual people to just recreationally use it. It was to be able to decriminalize sacred plants and medicines from indigenous people, and for them to be able to participate in ceremony without fear of being criminalized. That was my logic around it. It's included in the staff report as well. A lot of the language from the resolution is taken from the existing resolution that was done in Oakland, because there's a decriminalized Oakland page that they were referencing as well. There's a lot of talk about the benefits of it, and the Food and Drug Administration, and the scientific research associated with it, and then internationally,
Is there any way to look for amnesty for people who are currently in jail locally because of, I know it's prosecution under a state or a federal law, but maybe there's some way, you know, with the city-county cooperation and all that kind of crap, there can be some kind of amnesty program for anybody currently serving time.
Why does this come up before the Public Safety Commission only and not some health-related commission?
It didn't come, what do you mean?
There is no health-related commission.
Or social behavior commission.
And direct the item to the public safety, really? Council is being asked to discuss decriminalizing psychoactive plants and fungi by declaring that the investigation and arrest of individuals involved with the adult possession or cultivation be amongst the lowest priorities. The council today will hear a presentation from Decriminalize Santa Cruz, discuss the item, and direct the item to the Public Safety Commission for additional discussion. I didn't see that part until right now.
What is the Public Safety Commission?
That's him.
Yeah, it's myself, Councilor Crone, and Councilor Myers. It's interesting that it would be under public safety, though.
I mean, the idea that they're going to be going...
Well, because there's laws against it, I would think. That's the reason it's going there.
Yeah, but it's not a dangerous... It doesn't bring out violence, for instance.
It's just to... I think, and from my understanding, I think it probably put it in there, and I don't know, because, again, it's the first time that I've seen this line, is to increase public engagement opportunity for people to come and speak to it, I guess. And to have a robust process, I'm not sure, but yeah. Anyway, I'll probably move to strike that and just do it directly because there's no reason for it to go to the public safety.
Yeah, let them defend that.
Right. I mean, what you really need, of course, is some discussion of injection and inhalation centers instead of this crap, because that's what the main drug problems in Santa Cruz are.
Yeah, really.
I mean, no, there's no problem with any of this stuff. It's an exotic thing for upper middle class people.
It is pretty exotic.
You know, I mean,
definitely a minority activity.
I mean, you were raising these issues, as I remember, in March and April, in the large public meeting you had, where everybody came to denounce you for transitional encampments, where you said, "What we need is and they brought up the drug issue. He said, you know, drug treatment, look at what the drug treatment situation is. And of course, it's exactly the same, if not worse.
Right. So yeah, there's that. All right, so nothing too exciting there. Guidance for the city's use of green bonds, water revenue bond sales, and that is general business there. Revision of the council water supply strategy, and then...
No, wait, I want to mention something positive there. This is a real opportunity on number one, the green bonds, because I think we could point out that it will be a lot better for the air quality of Santa Cruz if we had more electric vehicles running around, small ones, electric scooters, very small electric cars, which people could rent when they're going to the boardwalk, park outside of town, rent electric vehicles. That would have to be subsidized to be on any mass scale, and so it would need a bond issue to get it going.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to flesh out that idea a little bit more, just because of time, and then send
maybe
it over.
Maybe I'll just bring it up in the discussion.
That sounds wonderful. So I'm going to send these right now. Continue the conversation amongst yourselves while I send these out, if you'd like.
So on this water bond, the... amount of money that they're at, the what do they call it?
I don't know, Scott, what do you call it?
Service of the debt is like 1.4 million or something, 1.3 million. So they're asking for $30 million, but it's going to end up costing $60 million to pay it back.
Yeah, these bonds are not good, not economical.
Yeah, it's like, if you go to a bank to get a home loan, it's like 3% interest nowadays, under 4. But for the city to go get a bond, it's costing 100% interest or even above that.
It hardly seems prudent.
Huh?
Doesn't seem prudent.
This is an opportunity to bring in the issue of the need for public banks that provide money for infrastructure at very, very affordable rates. This is an excellent time.
Well, the state has passed a law on that they are going to allow these public banks to come into existence.
Yeah, they have.
And so maybe they should put off this bond.
Yeah, maybe they should.
Put off this bond until that public bank thing comes around.
Let's propose that at the microphone.
Right.
We can't just have Drew carry all this. We have to carry some of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first email for the city attorney with the general questions about when a council member can make a motion during a meeting and the information about the bail schedule has just been submitted to the city attorney.
So one thing I wanted to mention, Drew, about you're talking about the not getting any response from the city manager's office.
Mm-hmm.
That woman that keeps on walking by, I think she's the city manager's executive assistant.
Suzanne, yes.
Christopher told me that she's the one he goes to because she always gets him the information he wants.
Mm-hmm.
A tip for you.
Thank you. Go to Suzanne.
Well, I'm going to let this winds up the public. Anything more anybody wants to say for the distribution nationwide?
Nationwide. Is on your side.
That's it.